Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Of dollars being pumped into, probably billions of dollars being pumped into the people, the scientists who like create and devise the app to get you to like be addicted to it. You seen that?
What's that one called?
I don't know the name of it. It's one of those things where I am watching sports on my tablet or phone and Amanda was watching that, so I would like see bits and pieces of it. So he doesn't do that. So he doesn't see the Jeff Passan comments and the Ken Rosenthal comments and the prospective or projected trades about him. And I think that's like showing some maturity that's beyond his years and also being very unlike his peers. I mean, think about Jared Jones, for example. Jared Jones finds out what Greg Brown said about his rehab or his injury on our show. And like minutes later, his dad is commenting about it on social media. So Skeens doesn't live in that world, which is also ironic because that is the way his girlfriend has become a celebrity. It's all social media related. She's monetized Instagram and things like that. And that's how she became one of the biggest faces in college sports over the last few years. A bigger celebrity than Skeens. So he said, I'm here to win a World Series in Pittsburgh. That's his goal. He's not looking way down the road. I mean, he implied there, implicit in that is his, he basically, you know, you could tell he is not a dummy, wasn't born yesterday. He probably understands that he's in Pittsburgh without, like, he's not going to be in Pittsburgh beyond this current contract. He's not going to sign an extension with them. So he's talking about, like, future meaning a year or two from now. And trying to get this turned around in the next year or two. And I don't think everybody would look at it that way. I know I wouldn't. And I know we all put ourselves in Skeens' shoes when he lost that complete game in Philadelphia. And we saw him staring mindlessly towards the field, watching the Phillies celebrate. Like, I can't believe I just lost this game where I pitched my ass off. And this is my, I'm projecting onto him sitting there thinking or standing there thinking, this is what it's come to. This is my lot in professional baseball right now to play for this sorry ass team. But it sounds like he actually still kind of believes that they can turn it around. Now, I don't know if Jason, I don't think Jason asked him about, you know, the team spending and doing more to build around him. We do have Skeens on handling losing, because that's another one I'm interested in. This team stinks. It loses most nights. It's a long season. It's 6 months. We're a third of the way through it. You've got another 100 games of losing ahead of you. How does Paul Skeens, a guy that won a College World Series right before he got to Pittsburgh, who left Air Force to go win, how is he handling playing for a team that stinks?
It's not the first time I've encountered losing. When I was at Air Force, it was a tough freshman year. And then we came back and won the conference my sophomore year. This kind of reminds me of that. So we just have to figure it out, basically. I have ideas and talking to people and all that. But at the end of the day, our job is to win. And so I've learned a lot this year because if we're losing, you know, we're not making the playoffs and I'm not learning, then it's a wasted year. And I'm not going to let that happen.
Hearing him say that it reminds him of when Air Force was bad and then the next year they came back and won the conference championship does speak to a level of optimism that I would not possess if I were him. And I think that's because I've seen the Pirates squander and blunder and not do a lot of winning in my lifetime. And so that's not his life experience. That's mine. And so I don't think he has yet, it sounds like, the prevailing pessimism that sets in for most Pirates fans where they think they are a Murphy's Law franchise, where bad things happen to them, A lot of the bad things that happen are of their own doing, are of their own creation. And it's super hard to overcome that. But, you know, he's, you know, the tone is not like energetic or like I don't hear his, if I didn't speak English and I'm just hearing his tone, I would not think he's saying uplifting things or encouraging things about the team, but those are the words he's picking. So we have one more here. This is Skeens, because you heard him reference like finding ways to change this and end this onslaught of losing and turn the franchise around. And he said he had some thoughts on how to do that. So here he is getting more detailed and descriptive on that, or being asked to do that.
Little stuff here and there. It's kind of one of those things where you don't know what you don't know. And so I'm learning a lot about, and I shouldn't say that I'm taking it all on and change everything, because that's not the case. Like, we have a locker room full of big leaguers who know how to play the game. So just got to get back to that.
Yeah, but I want him to take it on. Yeah, his responsibility first and foremost is to be the best pitcher that Paul Skeens can possibly be. And see, if you're not a good pitcher, if you're Tommy Pham right now and you haven't, Tommy Pham doesn't have an extra base hit in May. He's played the entire month. He doesn't have a double, triple, or home run. He doesn't have a home run all year. Okay, so spare me that Tommy Pham is some, you know, emotional leader or some guy that everyone gets held accountable by. When you stink, you can't do that. No one takes you seriously. Paul Skeens leads by example because he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. And he's the face of the franchise. So I want him to take on that role. I want him to feel like, yeah, we've got a room full of big leaguers, but I'm the biggest big leaguer here. A lot of these other guys are young and not good yet, may never be. And there's a ton of dudes in the room who are past their prime. Adam Frazier, Tommy Pham, I don't really care what they have to say about like what needs to be changed here. It's his team. Robbie Smikowski, who I'm a huge fan of, when he sat down with us on opening day, his thought was, and I agreed with him on this, he wants to see some A.J. Burnett and Paul Skeens. And Burnett was in his mid-30s when he came here, and his attitude was, this is how we should be doing things. Like, I don't know if you've heard this story, Donnie, but one of the things I heard about Burnett, I think this was 2012, so the year before they broke through and made the playoffs. He almost got into a fight with a dude in the Pirates clubhouse who was like having an assistant in the clubhouse go back and forth to get NFL stats during a Pirates game on a Sunday because he wanted to see how his fantasy team was doing. And Burnett got wind of this and like went ape bleep on the guy. Like that's the kind of Skeens I want. I want the Skeens who like is going to put his foot down and say, my opinion carries weight and what I say goes here, and I might be only 23 or 24 years old, but I know winning baseball and I know losing baseball. So
I think that's why Burnett was such a beloved figure.
Yeah.
I mean, I've told you guys time and time again that the dude played here for 3 years.
And we act like he was here for 30 years.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to rank like top five favorite Pirates of mine during my lifetime, he's on there without question. Played here for 3 years.
I mean, did you hear that and think, you know what, this guy isn't yet completely distraught over and cynical of just being a Pirate?
When I hear Paul Skeens speak, it does give me a little bit of peace, I guess, as a Pirates fan of like, this guy isn't racing to get out of here. Maybe he should be, because the team does frustrate almost every time he pitches, and we're going to see again today if they could actually support what he goes out there to do, which his last couple of starts he has looked like the Paul Skeens of 2024.
Yep.
But every time he talks, it does actually sound genuine, like, yeah, he wants to win here. He wants to do something here that we haven't seen for almost 50 years.
And more importantly, it sounds like he still thinks it's actually possible, which is the crazy part. Like, I would expect he would see the moves that got made or didn't get made this offseason and would think to himself, I don't really believe this team's that serious about winning. So I am wasting my time here.
Oh, there's trouble brewing in the desert.
No trouble brewing with Paul Skeens, apparently. It is remarkable how Block can get that excited about a team that's 16 games under 500. But that's what they're paying him to do, I guess. But I told you when I did minor league baseball, I was like that. And those games really don't count. And I was acting like I was calling Game 7 of the World Series. Maybe that's why I wasn't that good at it. Maybe that's why I'm here. Maybe that there was too much excitement for me. Maybe I didn't have that je ne sais quoi, that it factor that like the guy that does the Greensboro games has. Although I think he might be done. I think our going gone guy might be done. I think he might have gotten blown out of there.
That's a shame.
Sadly.
One of the best home run calls in all of baseball.
Ever. Did you hear Bechtold's call yesterday?
No.
The walk-off for Indiana, who finally won a Whitfield baseball championship. I guess that had never happened. Did you know that? They were mired in a drought, having never won one. And they had an 11th inning walk-off. So I don't know what radio network would this have been on?
I mean, it could have been with Trib Live.
Trib Live? Would they hire somebody like Austin?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I'm just curious. I don't know. Let's hear it and see what we think of it.
2-1 to Manzi, who skies it deep into right field. Charlie Manzi, back track wall. Charlie Manzi walks it off and plays hero. The long wait is over. The Indiana Indians, for the first time, are WPIAL baseball champions. Thanks to their hero, Manzi.
I've got a big-time critique right off the bat. Whoever,
it might be the same thing.
Whoever their engineer is needs to like change the levels there on his mic compared to the crowd.
Yeah,
mic.
The crowd
you can't
completely
hear him.
Drowns him out.
You have to expect and anticipate that you're going to have at some point here as a tie game late in the game some frenzied moments. You want the crowd because it adds to the moment, but you can't have it to the point where you really can't discern or hear what Austin's saying. He can't put that on a career resume reel because you can't hear it.
Yeah, I mean, my only critique of him, now, I don't know if there was a way in his headset to hear quite how loud the crowd is, because you can't always tell when you're in that moment. If he lets it breathe a hair, like he lets...
Let the crowd take it
wild,
over and then come back.
You hear like the ambiance of the PA announcer in the background, and then
fill in the blanks of who hit it and like what it meant and everything else. Like you just say, it's over, Indiana wins, and then let the crowd take over for a little bit there and then come back with the Whitfield stat and the guy who hit the home run.
Because
I agree with that.
Because it's a good call.
That's a very good point. That's a very, you know what that is? That's called constructive criticism right there. You're not ripping him. You're just saying, in a scenario like this, better to do it that way. I agree.
Because it's a good call, but
you can't
like
appreciate
you said,
the
now
call.
You can't put it anywhere because it's you're hearing the crowd and nothing but the crowd. Like you can kind of hear his voice, but it's a lot of crowd.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. Home run, game over, Indiana wins. Let the crowd come in and take you for a little bit, and then come back with the stats. That's a... See, that's Lanny rubbing off on you right there. You know what you should do as a side job? You should have aspiring play-by-play people in Pittsburgh send you their tapes, and you should give them feedback on it.
I'm not
you should start a website. What do you mean? You consume a ton of sports. You've done it. People respect you. I don't see why. I mean, I think, frankly, like if a college wanted to hire you as an adjunct professor, let's say, and teach a class in sports broadcasting, I think you could. I think you're selling yourself short. Because think about it. You just came up with that idea in real time, and it was brilliant. And now Austin's texting me probably to like bitch about how we're like being unfair to him. So keep that in mind.
No, I mean, I like the call. It's just unfortunate that the crowd...
But he needs to notice that or recognize that that might happen and plan accordingly.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I just want-
Little Bucko pregame here. We're about 20 minutes away from Paul Skeens making another start. He's only 3-5 with a 2.36 ERA. It's a damn shame at with an ERA in the low twos that he only has three wins a third of the way through the season. So he's on pace this year to go 9-15 to lose 15 times as a Pirates starting pitcher. One of the great road pitchers of all time. His ERA is in the ones. Listen to Starkey every Wednesday with Pop to hear about the Starkey Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. I went out and saw the Skeens MLB debut patch card at the Big Dick's the other day. That was auctioned off. A kid found it on Christmas Day, I think, and got it at auction. Did the Dick's Corporation for over $1 million, and they put it on display here in Pittsburgh. I've said a few times lately that I want to get back into collecting. I think Skeens is a good place to start collecting Skeens cards because he's obviously extremely popular now. And if he goes to a team like the Dodgers or Yankees with their fan base, those cards will get even more cherished and valuable, especially if he keeps pitching out of his mind. But I just don't know where to start with this stuff. That's my issue. Like, I need someone to hold my hand through it. Like, before, it was so, you know, you just buy a bunch of packs. You get one of those magazines at the drugstore that you'd search it, and it'd tell you how much each card was worth. You'd look up, like, 1990 Tops, and they'd have every card listed, and you'd match the number on the back of the card, find it on the list, and then it would tell you roughly how much it was worth. Is that before your time doing that, Donnie? Where you had hard copy books, not the internet, magazines actually, not books, that they'd have at newsstands like Sports Illustrated, ESPN, the magazine. And it was just a card collecting magazine that told you how much everything was worth.
I don't remember those. I mean, I had cards, but I was never like, oh, I'm going to collect these just to see what they would be worth.
So you didn't have binders of cards?
Oh, no, I have binders of cards, but I can't remember if in my childhood they had the magazine
that I'm talking about,
specifically what they would be worth.
Jim Bowden, who used to work in the Pirates front office and went on to be the Reds GM and is now on MLB Network Radio, he's come on our show before. He's actually Pomp's buddy from college. Wrote an article today, Pirates don't want to trade Paul Skeens, but they'd have to weigh these prospect packages. Charrington said it ain't happening, but again, what if they get calls? Bowden said to land Skeens in a trade, it would take parting with an uncomfortable amount of young talent, and beyond that, perhaps require an overpay for the Pirates to even consider it. So he proposed trades from the Cubs, Dodgers, Red Sox, Tigers, and Mets. The Cubs package, pitcher Cade Horton, third baseman Matt Shaw, outfielder Kevin Alcantara, shortstop Juan Tomas. I don't really know any of those guys. Bowden, the Pirates would acquire Horton, the Cubs' top pitching prospect, who would immediately go into their rotation. He'd have an extra year of control than Skeens. Shaw could move to second base. Alcantara could be promoted to the majors to play left field. And Tomas is a 17-year-old prospect who could develop into a shortstop. That is not enough for me to trade Paul Skeens for that package. There's not one. You know, I don't know, Don. You'd have to look it up for me. Where does Horton rank on the list of top 100 prospects right now? Is he top 10? He's the Cubs' top pitching prospect, but if the best player I'm getting back in that deal is a top 30 prospect or top 50 prospect for Skeens, that's a ridiculously low package to accept if that's the big name in it. Dodgers' proposed package. He's 35, says Donnie. Yep, sorry. That's a no. Catcher Dalton Rushing. Yeah, just what this team needs, another catcher. Andy Pagas, we've seen him play. Outfielder. Left-handed pitcher Jackson Ferris. And right-handed pitcher Landon Knack, who pitched for the Dodgers the other day and pitched for them in the playoffs last year. Rushing would be their long-term answer at catcher, says Bowden, and Pagas would be their solution in left field. Ferris isn't ready for the majors yet, but he has the stuff to become a top of the rotation starter. And Knack would go into the Pirates rotation right away. But again, there's like no big prospect there. Where's rushing the Dodgers catcher on the list of prospects, Donnie? Here's the interesting
15.
One. 15. Okay, so but still, you've got catchers. One of them better be good. Bart, Davis, or Rodriguez. Red Sox proposed package from Bowden. Roman Anthony, Franklin Arias, Justin Gonzalez, Luis Perales. Anthony is the top prospect in all of baseball. You get a middle infielder in Arias, a power bat in Gonzalez. Yeah, that's still underwhelming. Tigers outfielder Max Clark. I remember the Pirates were interested in drafting him out of high school. Shortstop Bryce Rainer. You know what? I'm done reading these. These are all coming. I'm looking at the Mets list. I know their organization. These are one great prospect in there, a couple of good prospects, and a flyer. Four players for one. Just like the Garrett Cole trade was 4-for-1. These are not knock your socks off. Even though you love Paul Skeens, you can't say no to these trades. So if this is the best Bowden thinks contending teams could do, then I'm with the Pirates' stance on Skeens. You can't even consider trading him if that's all that's coming back.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
These deals. 20 minutes away from Mike Florio on the Terry Bradshaw comments. Now Kenny Pickett's taking some backhanded swipes at the Steelers as we wait for Aaron Rodgers. The average cost of gear for a firefighter is over $13,000. Holy crap. That's why we're hosting the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union. Raise funds for volunteers who serve our community. You can donate now at 937thefan.com, presented by Cintas, Southside Plumbing and Heating, Target Freight Management, and Glick Fire Department. Yesterday, I pledged to eat one of those Carolina Ghost Pepper chips if we got over $100 in donations. And if we got over $200, I said I would not only eat the chip, but I would drag someone else in with me. I'd nominate a fan host. I nominated Pompiani, but then people said Bob's had some heart problems in his past. Probably not a good idea. I agree. So I'm going to make Austin Bechtold do it. Now, this was proposed by Malzi. If we get another $100 in donations today, Chris will pull an Aaron Rodgers and chew on bark at the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon. Now, he doesn't have to eat it. He doesn't have to swallow it. But much like Terry Bradshaw is telling Aaron Rodgers to go chew on bark, we will have Malzi do the same thing. Which, I have a weird feeling he's going to like it. Because he has a very strange palate when it comes to food. He hates pizza, even though his favorite pizza got delivered here today.
Yep, and he was not here for it.
Nope, because he's dealing with explosive diarrhea
playing
at a very, very exclusive country club. Yep. Did you know that J.J. Watt said on McAfee show that he once had to wipe himself 100 times after going?
No way.
Yeah.
I think that's...
Like, I get it. That has to be an exaggeration, but still, like...
Because at what point do you start counting? It's not like you're counting every
single
time.
What did the toilet look like afterwards? Just nothing but toilet papers.
Yeah, I mean, that would also need to be like a multi-flush.
Dude, if it's
trip,
that, like, that's a trip to the emergency room if that's what happened. That would freak me out. The Pirates' breaking news is that Joey Bart, who left the game last night, was placed on the concussion list. So that means Henry Davis, who usually starts when Paul Skeens pitches, he's been Skeens' personal catcher, is in line for more playing time. Andy Rodriguez, who cut his finger a month ago, is finally back. So Rodriguez and Davis will be your catching tandem. Davis homered in his first at-bat last night and then doubled. I think he's looked good. I can't believe I'm saying that. I think he's had a bounce-back month. I think he should play more. Bart was a disaster in May. Joey Bart hit 181 with no homers. His OPS, his slugging percentage was 208. He was honestly, and this is saying a lot because you've got guys like Jared Triolo and Key Brian Hayes on the Pirates, he was their worst hitter in May. So it looks like the luck from last year with Bart has worn off and he's gone back to being the guy that the Giants gave up on. We're 7 minutes away from Skeens taking the mound. Donnie, you have the Pirates lineup for today's game.
Yeah, O'Neal Cruz will lead off. He'll play center field. Andrew McCutchen, the DH, will bat second. Brian Reynolds, after his 4-for-4 night, he hits third in right field. Alexander Canario, the left fielder in the cleanup spot this afternoon. Spencer Horwitz bats number 5. He's at first base. Henry Davis hits 6. He is behind the plate. Key Brian Hayes bats 7th at third base. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa hits 8th at shortstop. And Jared Triolo, the second baseman, hits number 9. So kind of ugly in the 7 through 9, although IKF can hit the ball. The guys in 7 and 9 cannot.
I think if IKF were cast in the Josh Harrison role, the Sean Rodriguez role, which is what he's supposed to be, that's his job to play all around your lineup. I think if that's what he was doing here, I would be fine with that trade. It's the fact that he's your everyday shortstop, and I don't think he's a very good defender. His arm strength is not there. But he's hit. I mean, he doesn't have for any power, but he hits for a high average, and he gets on base enough. So I think, you know, on a good team, if he's your 8 or 9 hitter, that's pretty good. He hits there in this lineup, but the problem is he's better than about 5 or 6 of the guys they hit ahead of him. The Canario thing, I mean, Canario is for Ben Cherington right now one of these broken clock is right twice a day situations. He made an unreal catch in center field last night. Going back, it was Willie Mays style if you missed it. He made another great catch going to right center in a gap, a lot of running to get there. So he's played solid defense. He's hit over 300 this month. There's some power in there. I mean, honestly, I would say over the last 25 or 30 games, he's been the Pirates' best hitter. I mean, Cruz has obviously more peaks, but he's got deeper valleys because he's had times where he struck out a lot. That was a shrewd move by the Pirates. That's a Cherington win. Unfortunately, his record as a general manager is a lot like the 2025 Pirates, where there's way more losses than wins. But there is... You know, we heard from Noah Hyles yesterday. He's at his 50-50 on Cherington. Donnie, there is a scenario in which he saves his job, in my opinion. If they play 500 baseball with Donnie Kelly, since Kelly takes over, if they're a 500 team in his time as Pirates manager this year, and Henry Davis hits and Canario hits, I think he might save his job. Actually, in that exact scenario, I think he would. If Davis doesn't look like a bust, and he found a guy off the scrap heap who's actually good, and they, you know, they don't salvage the season by any means, but they played 500 ball for like a 100-game stretch or 110-game stretch, Nutting said he doesn't want to blow it up. I think he would, in that situation, come back as GM next year.
Which I am worried about, because think of one of the things you just said. If Davis doesn't look like a bust, a guy you picked 1-1, yeah, if he's not awful, we're going to let this GM save his job. If he's one step up from bust level, I mean, is that really enough for the guy to save his job? And I'd still really worry about what he would do, how he would perform next offseason. And we know that the budget will be tight for them.
Yep.
But he has shown...
Oh, no doubt. I agree with you.
...multiple times that no matter what the budget is, he is buying the wrong stuff.
Yeah, I don't think he's a good enough GM where, given the difficulties of this gig, where you're going to have one of the lowest payrolls in baseball, I don't see him being the guy that's able to beat the system and and do it as a David versus a Goliath. He wanted Boston. You've got every resource imaginable there, and outside of 1 year, he was terrible. And I think he's showing his true colors here. What's more emblematic of Ben Cherington? All of his last place finishes are the one World Series. I think the body of work the other years. Key Brian Hayes stinks. Triolo isn't developing. I mean, he's awful. He's in the lineup today because they gave Frazier a day off. I mean, I'll actually say this. Frazier doesn't look like a bad pickup in that if he is cast as your bench middle infielder, I think he's fine in that role. The issue is when you have to run him out there every day to be your second baseman, and that wasn't the plan. Nick Gonzalez hit a home run on opening day and got hurt. So, it's still bleak. I mean, just because they came back from down 6-0 and won 9-6 and had one of these against all odds wins last night, I'm not going to sugarcoat things and say the Pirates are actually back on track. They're not. But if certain things go right for them over the last two-thirds of the season, I could see the owner who didn't want to, quote, derail things coming up with a rationale for keeping Cherington. I mean, I think Cherington should have been fired with Shelton. But if Davis, Canario, and Cruz continues to look like he's turned the corner, then I think maybe he's got a shot of saving his job. If Chandler comes up and looks like a stud, I mean, these are a lot of things have to go right. But he's still here, so he still has a chance to save himself.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.